Happy Sunday, or whichever day you're listening. I hope it's Sunday for you as a church member, but if you're listening at another time, it's great to have you, and it's a privilege to share the Word of God and believe that the Word of God will be life-changing for you this morning. And I have a word that I've been living with for a few weeks, really, personally, and I really felt the release from the Holy Spirit to bring it to you for such a time as this. And it's from Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter, and it's verse 30. And this is what the Word of God says about a situation for God's people in Israel, in the Old Testament, Jericho, standing in front of it. Joshua had led the people across the Jordan. God had made a way for them to get into the Promised Land. And it's a type of being in Christ, having the whole land spreading before them. And everything that God they could see in this particular land, God said was theirs. Okay, so they're in the Promised Land and they're standing really right in front of Jericho. And it says in verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. It's a very short verse, short description. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. That's such an amazing, there's a feast in here. And I trust that God is going to reveal to you how special this word is for your life and for us as his church as we follow Jesus in our days. The first thing is that Jericho in the Old Testament is very different to your Jericho today. It speaks of The walls of Jericho speak of an impenetrable situation which you can't beat or win yourself without God's help. God-sized victory is needed, whether it's in your body, your circumstances, your finances, or for us as a church. We need a victory to win souls in this generation. And what's interesting is about God has given us everything in Christ. We have a rich inheritance. We have all the promises, which are yes and amen. But along with the promise is a problem. It's amazing to me to see that in the Promised Land, the land of promise, everything is theirs, but there is a problem. And the enemy has got hold of what belongs to them. And that is really the essential battle that Hebrews speaks about. There's a battle for possessing the very thing that Jesus died for, our rich inheritance. There's a war going on. It's a spiritual war, Ephesians tells us. Our battle isn't against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities of darkness. And the enemy can sometimes hold stuff that is actually ours. And this word tells us how to take possession of it, how to get a victory over that insurmountable issue that seems to have been there for a long time and doesn't seem to be moving. Now, we're going to begin this great victory where it should begin, and that's in Joshua chapter 5. I'm just going to read here how this victory, this incredible God-sized victory happened. It began with Joshua standing on his own. Joshua was the leader, and he's standing looking at Jericho. He's close, and I think this is exciting. He's close to the place of victory. Even though the problem is right in front of him, I want to tell you, Jesus has already won the victory for us. But we're close. It's often we don't really see anything but the problem. But Jesus wants us to know that we're close to the place of victory. And so Joshua is standing there viewing. And he's doing a recce, really. And what happens is a man, it says, behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. In verse 13, that is. And Joshua said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? In other words, are you with us or with our enemy? He didn't know who this person was. And actually, the answer identified this person, that this was none other than God. This was the Lord. It's a personification in the Old Testament of Jesus. And he said, no, neither. In other words, I don't pick sides because I'm commander-in-chief. In other words, I'm Lord. He said, I am commander of the army of the Lord. That's how I have come. And this is the beginning of an understanding for Joshua that if he's going to take Jericho, a big problem, and if they are as a church going to take it, the people of God are going to take Jericho, a city that seems to be impassable. The Lord has come not just as a promise giver, but he's come to be Lord of the route and the way into that victory. He hasn't come to take sides, he's come to be Lord. Now we do say, and it's true, that God is for us. Who can be against us? But God isn't for us when we are not in his will. And this is the essence of Joshua. He's looking at life, planning and plotting and doing his recce with his human mind. And really, Jesus needs to be Lord of this situation if he's ever going to see the victory. So Joshua's victory began with submission. And every victory you and I are going to win through our lives, for our families, for the lost, for our rich inheritance, is going to begin with submission. Joshua's response to this revelation that Jesus has come as commander-in-chief, that's a military term, that means he's got the authority over me as a leader. And I think that's such an important revelation. There is no leader who's ever going to do anything lasting or of any value without Jesus Christ as Lord. And there's no Christian who can move into victory without Jesus being in reality Lord of their lives. And so Joshua submits, he bows and worships, and he says, what does my Lord have to say? I love that. I surrender to you. You're here to tell me what to do. You know, the Christian life begins with a voluntary submission to Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. If we want him to save us, we have to say he's Lord. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again. He always will be Lord. He always was Lord. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we don't make him Lord by submitting to him. He already is. But we make him our Lord and our Saviour. That's what a Christian is. A Christian has Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. And wherever he is Lord, he saves. And he saves to the uttermost those who come to God through him. We put our faith in him, but he becomes Lord and Saviour. I've come to take over, he says to Joshua. I've come to tell you what to do. And I find that such a relief. You know, when I was first saved and I accepted Jesus as Lord, and I knew that it meant a life of following Jesus and doing what he said, I knew right from the start, and I had this incredible joy and peace. But to be honest, I was a little bit afraid about what he would ask me to do. I don't know if you've been like that. But when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, you can get a bit fearful. What will that mean? And to be honest, I was a little bit on the negative side when I first started my Christian walk. I thought, well, it's bound to mean something terrible that I'll never want to do. Because I knew that Jesus, as with all of us, he's upfront and honest about his demands on our lives as a Christian. He often said to people who came to him, I need you to count the cost. I need you to know what it means to be a follower. And I kind of already knew that it meant giving up whatever he asked of me to give up to follow him. So I thought, well, that's it. I'm going to be miserable and I'm going to be sad for the rest of my life. But actually what I've discovered is that I don't need to fear his plan and purpose for my life. I don't need to fear that he's got plans for good, that will prosper me, not harm me. Why? Because he's good. It doesn't mean there isn't a cost to following Jesus. And you will know if you're a genuine believer today, you have already paid a price to be someone who calls yourself a Christian. But a Christian is someone who has a commander in chief who tells us how to walk out our lives, but always has victory planned. He always has rewards. By faith, the walls of Jericho in your life will come down after you've done the will of God. Do what God says to do and walk in obedience to him. Isn't it interesting the walls came down after, not just when Joshua received the instructions? He actually had to walk them out. He had to do what Jesus said to do. And some people actually have this opinion of being a Christian, that actually you can be an essential range Christian, but then there's the super deluxe range. There's the really good Christians who just seem to leave everything and follow Jesus. Well, Jesus said, no one can call me Lord without doing what I say, doing my will. And so the Christian life isn't just an acceptance of Jesus as Lord at the beginning. It's a walk with Jesus as Lord in our daily lives. And that will mean at times there's tension in my relationship with him. And at times I will make mistakes. He doesn't leave me or forsake me. But he has come not just to save me, but to be Lord and Savior of my life. I don't have to fear him because everything he does is good, and he'll turn everything around for good, even when it doesn't look good. But he has come not for me to ask him to bless my plans, my ideas, my money, my agendas. He's come to be Lord. And that's the place, the beginning of victory. So there's no super deluxe. There's only one kind of Christian, and that's where Jesus Christ is Lord. And I was reading an article, and I'm going to just use this as an example because I thought it was amazing. And this is just a secular paper I was reading, and I was reading about a TV presenter called Dan Walker. Some of you might know him. Apparently he was a presenter on Breakfast TV, and I never watch it, so I don't know. He used to be a sports presenter, and I don't even know that. But I only know what I read, so I'm just commenting on what the papers said. And he was being compared with another TV presenter on a rival channel. And Dan Walker, it says in the article, is a committed Christian, a mild-mannered man, who refuses to work on a Sunday. And I read that, and they were saying, well, we've got this Rottweiler challenge coming from this other presenter, and we've got this mild-mannered man who's a Christian, everybody knows it, who refuses to work on a Sunday. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, he's got another Lord then. How can you tell? By the way he treats people. He does his job very differently to other people. His character is like the character of Christ. It doesn't mean he's a walkover, Mr. Walker, but it does mean that he treats people with respect, and he's not known for tearing people down, for outbursts of anger. He's known to be a mild-mannered man, and he has principles. Some days are when the church gather, either online or in a building when we get back, and he refuses to work. Now, that cost him. I want to tell you something. If you know and you stood for not working on a Sunday because the Lord has a demand on your life to be in church, to worship, Sundays is for worship and it is for rest. And that is all part of the call of God. There is a particular day when we gather together to worship. It was the New Testament. The first day of the week they would gather together. They all knew which day it was. But this man has stood out. And I thought, he's a bright shining light. But he's not just a talker. His name is Dan Walker. Sorry for the pun. His name goes with his walk. He's someone who is walking out the will of God in the way that I read about. I don't know about the rest of his life, but I just went, Lord, what a witness in the national papers and on national TV, a committed Christian. His character and his choices are reflecting. He really does the Christian life. Doesn't just say, I have a Lord, but don't do whatever he asks of me. And my question is, am I a walker or a talker? Are you a walker or a talker? Because there are certain areas in your life where you can actually say, actually, I talk about that a lot, but I never actually get on and do it. And this is not to condemn us, but it's actually to say our victory is connected with our walk. If we're going to walk into the victories that God has planned, into every promise that he has planned for us, it's after doing God's will that we see often a breakthrough in our lives. Now, the next part of this kind of story of Joshua is that God says to Joshua in verse 2, after describing the walls that were tightly shut up and the enemy was locked in, and the people were locked in Jericho, he says to Joshua, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand and all its kings and mighty men. Oh my goodness. Imagine that, standing there, and God says, see. Joshua had been viewing the situation naturally about how he was going to win this. God speaks, and as soon as he speaks, the faith that comes from God comes to Joshua for Jericho. He had the faith for the Jordan, but he needed faith for Jericho. You know, it's not just a one-time gift, faith. Faith just keeps coming. As we surrender, God speaks and says, see, I have given you the victory in that situation. That promise specific comes to Joshua. And you know, whenever that promise comes, it's not yet time in this situation, in this walk, to shout the victory. We can sing. I tell you, I was in, just to give an example, I was praying and fasting, you know, with you guys in January, and I received fresh faith. God spoke to me about situations and people's lives that I love and care about, and I want to see them in victory. God spoke to me about the church, and I received, see, I've given you the victory. And you know, I started to sing that song, and I'm not going to sing it too much, but I'll just, you might recognize it. I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. You know the song from, I think it's Elevation Worship, for the battle belongs to the Lord. And I began to sing, I'm going to see a victory. Before I had seen a victory, because I knew that God had given me those situations. I already had them. But then Joshua was told the strategy. Essentially, he was, summary, told to walk and get the people of God walking around Jericho, marching round once a day for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they had to march around 7 times. The trumpet would blow, they'd give a shout, and the walls came down. And I just thought about going around in circles in faith. There's two different ways to walk. You can go around in circles, or you can go around in circles in faith. And they were going around in faith, knowing that God had said he'd given them this city. And as they're walking together. And their faith means they're sure of what they hope for, and certain of what they don't see. And I thought about those walks daily. They're walking by faith, not by sight, not by experience. No stone moved. And often when we walk by faith, we've received the victory, the promise. Nothing seems to move yet. That situation doesn't seem to change. It seems stubborn. But all I can say to you is what Joshua said. Just keep going. Doing what God says to do. Just keep the commander of chief, commander in chief, telling you what to do, when to do it, and keep on walking by faith, and God will move your Jericho into a great victory for his name and for your benefit. You will get the reward of faith. But the reward comes after walking consistently in what the commander-in-chief said to do, what the Lord said to do. No point shouting without a walk. If they had shouted at those walls for the first day, nothing would have happened. They had to do it. And that's the same with a lot of things in life. The Christian life is a walk. And God promises victory, but often we have to get walking in doing what he asks us to do before we see what he has promised come to pass. The Lord gives me the victory. So to finish today, I want to just encourage you to understand your Christian walk. That we're not here to ask God to bless our plans. And I know you know that. But sometimes we just need to step back off our kind of targets and goals and our saying, yeah, we know God's given us the victory. But to step back and surrender again. Paul said, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and blameless. It's your reasonable act of worship. Surrender. Then you will approve. Have your mind renewed. You'll approve what the good, perfect and pleasing will of God is. Surrender is the beginning of the journey into victory. Then comes the faith as God speaks his promise. See, I have already given you. But it's a specific word for a specific Jericho that we are standing against. That we need to see a victory. A stubborn, standing there, immovable, impossible for us. That God will do it. And then comes the strategy to walk out in obedience to what Jesus says to do. One of the most amazing things to me is to see this church, if you call the people of God in the Old Testament, but today church, they're walking around the walls together. They're not walking in isolation. And it's not time to walk in isolation. For such a time as this, God has a people on earth walking together by faith. And I just know the value of it and the value of connect groups, small groups, the value of brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, if your friends are all worldly, I can show you your future. You will walk away from God. We need to have close friendships. People in our connect groups that we're walking with. Even Paul. There's an event in the book of Acts. He was stoned and left for dead. You can imagine him on a dusty road. And they left him for dead, really. They thought he'd died. And the disciples, what did they do? They got in a circle. They got in a circle around Paul. And they must have prayed, believing that God would raise him up. And I want to tell you, those disciples made all the difference for life and death for Paul. He got back up. It says he just got back up. God raised him through the disciples. And I can't tell you the value of having committed Christians who are walking the walk, not talking the talk. Just walking out their Christian faith together. In obedience to what Jesus says to do, financially, relationally, that they are seeing that the will of God for their lives is completely different to the ways of the world. And as we do this, united with him, our commander-in-chief, showing us the route to go, we will possess our promises. We will see the victory. God will do it. And it will be supernatural, and it will be such a sign and a wonder for the world to see. I love the scripture, and I'm going to finish this and just share pray with you. I love the scripture. Thanks be to God who always leads us in victory, in triumphant procession in Christ. Always triumphant procession in Christ. And through us spread everywhere the knowledge of him. You know, that day when the walls fell, there would have been nobody in the land of Canaan that wouldn't have known about God. Our victories to glorify him actually speak to this generation of the glory of God, that God is real, that he is present, and he's on our side because we're on his. Yes, God is for us. Who can stand against us? As long as we are walking in obedience to him. He's a God of love. You don't have to fear submission. He's good, but he's a king. You know, just before Jesus went to the cross, he told a parable. And in the parable, the end of the story was, people said, we don't want this king to rule over us. And that's, he gives us free choice in this life. We don't want this king to rule over us. But if we're Christians, we do have a king. We do have a Lord. Our work isn't king. Our money isn't king. Our families aren't king. I am not king. You're not the king. Jesus Christ is Lord. And our Commander-in-Chief has planned a future. A future where we start to see incredible ground taken for our King. Incredible moves of God in this generation. That's what we're living for. But it all comes back to Jesus be Lord. Not just in word, but in reality. Amen. Praise God. He'll interrupt your plans. This week I was praying for somebody who needs a lot of help in my bubble. And I said, Lord, help them. They've got a lot on at the moment. And the Lord said to me, that's why you're here. Go and help. And I thought, you know, I had a busy day. I had lots planned I had to do. But I had to shift my agenda for the will of God. And I want to tell you, there's got to be agenda shifting. If Jesus is going to be Lord, we have to shift and change and be flexible. Because whatever he says, if we do it, we'll see the new wine. We'll see the walls come down. We'll see the promises come to pass. It's a word of encouragement. But it's also a word of understanding. Sometimes Christians don't win in life because they're not actually walking out what Jesus says. Love one another, Jesus said. Lay down your lives for one another. Practically make sure, like Paul, you've got people around you that when you're down, they will pick you up. And when they're down, you will be in a circle around them. So important. If you don't feel like fellowship, you need it more today than you ever did. Act on what Jesus says to do, and you will receive the promises of God. All of them are yes and amen, but they'll become yours in reality. So let's just pray together. Let's yield our lives afresh this moment. Like Joshua, see that Jesus is the Commander-in-Chief. Whatever problem you're facing, he's bigger. He's got the victory for you. He's already won it. But he just needs to be Lord of you and me. Lord, you're our Commander-in-Chief. In whatever way we can in this moment, we bow our hearts and minds, our circumstances, even the promises you've said that we have, all of them, yes and amen. We yield them to you, Lord, and say, Lord, show us. Be our Commander-in-Chief. Lead us, Lord, in that triumphant procession. Lead us. into your victory in reality, in circumstances, in people's physical bodies, in their relationships. Show us what to do. In their working life, show them what to do, Lord, so that we can walk out our lives together. In the church, Lord, show us how we can practically walk with our brothers and sisters, loving one another, together, in faith. And like Dan Walker, may we be known as those who are like Jesus. May we be known as those who have standards, things we do and things we won't do. Lord, glorify your name. And thank you that we are going to see a victory. In your route, there's going to be amazing victories in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you encircle your walls by faith and you continue to do the will of God. You're going to see a victory. You're going to see a victory. Sing that song. It'll be a great song to sing all week. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Can't wait to see you in person.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.